monitor. This one. How to regulate the okay. So first of all, I would like to thank the organizers for the opportunity to speak here. I'm going to talk about the cosmological constant in loop quantum cosmology. The material I'm going to present is the result of joint work by Professor Abayashtekar, Wojciech Kamiński, Jerzy Lewandowski, Eloisa Bentivena, and me. It's various parts of this work. So, what's the purpose? As it was already presented by Abai, the result for isotropic flat universe with massless scalability in loop quantum cosmology revealed the existence of, first of all, semi-classical contracting universe preceding expanding one, and have shown that there is a quantum bounce when energy density reaches a certain critical value. Unfortunately, during this talk, I am still using the old one, which is twice too big. So the work I'm going to present is extension of this work, namely inclusion of cosmological constant. And I'm going to ask for the following questions. First, are there qualitative properties similar to vanishing cosmological constant? For example, whether the bounds still persist? Second, does critical energy density still characterize uniquely and invariantly the bounds point? And what new properties such system may possess? And due to mathematical complications, the positive various signs of cosmological constant have to be investigated separately. So let me briefly remind the quantization scheme. So model is a flat isotropic Friedman-Robertson-Walker universe. Matter content is just massless scalar field. Basic variables on the geometry side are Ashtekar variables, connections and triads, which in isotropic case can be represented in terms of two real variables, connection and triad coefficient, C and P. Gaussian diffeomorphism constraints are automatically satisfied by appropriate gauge fixing. Matter field is just massless scalar field with its canonically conjugate momentum P phi. Method of quantization follows the construction of loop quantum gravity, and geometric degrees of freedom are triads and holonomies. Along straight edges, which are next promoted to operators. Matter degrees of freedom are quantized with respect to standard Schrödinger quantization representation. Standard Schrödinger representation. Kinematical Hilbert space is just a product of geometry or gravitational and matter kinematical Hilbert space. Geometry part is are square integrable functions on Bohr compactification of the real line. Matter is just standard L2 Hilbert space. And in case of geometry Hilbert space, the basis of it are just eigenstates of the operator P, which is which acts just as multiplication operator on the chosen elements. And of course, we have the only constraint, Hamiltonian constraint, which we have to quantize, and to do so, we express the geometric components in terms of holonomies and essentially volume operator, which is, can be expressed by triad operator, and then raise the objects to operators. So that's the final result of such operation. Full quantum constraint is similar to Klein-Gordon equation. Namely, on the left-hand side, we have just second-order derivative over phi. On the right-hand side, we have some negatively definite operator. I mean, it's minus theta, where theta is... okay, let's not talk about negative-positive definiteness now. Theta is essentially a difference operator, which shifts the V label enumerating basis and proportional to the volume by 4. What's the role of cosmological constant in here? It enters only coefficient C naught here, acting like V square potential. The operator, which I will call later evolution operator, is symmetric in the domain of finite combinations of eigenstates V. And due to this form, the system can be reinterpreted as free system evolving with respect to time phi. Now, I have to bring some important details. First, because we don't have symmetric biotic interactions, we also require our states to be symmetric with respect to reflection of the triad orientation, which corresponds to change of the sign of V. And because of this particular form of the constraint, we have superselection sectors, which are subsets invariant with respect to action of evolution operator and parity reflection, which are simply these lattices enumerated by number epsilon. In consequence, geometry Hilbert space is just sum of particular Hilbert spaces of functions supported only on these lattices. Since we have following procedure for Klein-Gordon equation, we may just select, we have two sectors in Klein-Gordon equation, a positive and negative frequency solution. So we have, here we can choose just one, positive frequency solutions. Then our equation reduces just to first order one. And what we need additionally are some Dirac observables, which will act on... physical Hilbert space will be space of the solutions up, to this equation, and observables, which we use for describing the evolution, are the following one. It's scalar field momentum, it's volume at given moment of phi, defined like this, and scalar field energy density, also at given moment of phi, which is given by appropriately ordered inverse volume operators and scalar field momentum operators, where inverse volume at given phi is defined analogously to the volume. It's just here it's multiplication by regularized inverse volume. So let's focus for now on negative cosmological constant. Classically, it is a collapsing system. We start at the Big Bang singularity, then go to expanding phase, recollapse, contracting phase, end up in big crunch. So, in particular, recollapse point happens. Recollapse happens when energy density of the scalar field is balanced exactly by cosmological constant. Here, lambda acts as positive V square potential. Therefore, theta is positively definite, essentially self-adjoint, and its spectrum is discrete. This was shown by Jerzy Lewandowski, Wojciech Kamiński, and Lukasz Schulz in this paper. Because of discreteness of the spectrum, the eigenfunctions relevant for construction of physical Hilbert space are normalizable. We can, for example, single them out numerically. Once it's done, physical states are simply sums with certain coefficients, spectral profiles of basis elements given by normalizable normalized eigenfunctions, and then exponent of I omega phi. Omega square is an eigenvalue of theta. In particular, to construct some states semi-classical at late times or at small energy densities, we have to make some choice of this spectral profile. So in this particular case, we have chosen a Gaussian, picked about some large omega and also at some large volume at given initial phi. And to analyze the evolution, we use the observables defined few transparencies later, earlier, momentum of the scalar field, volume at given phi, and energy, scalar field energy density at given phi. Okay, this is the absolute of wave function corresponding to the Gaussian state. It will be easier to describe what is happening here. So if we start from expanding phase and evolve backward, we see exactly the same phenomena which we observed already for vanishing cosmological constant. Namely, when energy density, total energy density, becomes of the order of 1% of Planck density, we observe additional repulsive force, deviation from classical trajectories, bounce, then again universe enters some classical trajectory once energy density decreases, follows it through contracting epoch, recollapse, expanding epoch, till the next bounce. Therefore, we have cyclic evolution. In terms of energy density, the picture is analogous. We have, for example, expanding phase. As we go backward, energy density increases to critical one, then drops to the level where sum of energy density corresponding to cosmological constant and scalar field reaches zero, and then cycle repeats again. There is slight dispersion. I will comment it in a minute. So, the result is, as I stated, we have cyclic evolution, we have bounce exactly when total energy density reaches the critical one. Singularities are, again, resolved by and replaced by quantum bounce. And evolution is periodic. So, about the spread of the wave function between cycles. More detailed analysis of spectra of spectrum of the evolution operator shows that if we compare two following frequencies, we see that the separation between them approaches some fundamental value which depends only on cosmological constant, plus some function vanishing like omega 2 minus 2. In particular, this function is bounded by the following expression. that was analyzed numerically. Then, using some heuristic argumentation, we may derive limit on the spread, I mean on the increase of relative spread of in the volume of wave packet, which is again bounded by relative spread in omega or scalar field momentum and 1 over omega star square. I should write the value about which the Gaussian is picked. Of course, this was derived just heuristically, but once it was derived, it was numerically confirmed. I mean, we took the numerical simulations and really measured the spread, and we know that the bound holds. So, what this bound really means? That means that our spread is extremely slow. If we take lambda of the of this order in Planck units, then for universe which can grow to like megaparsec size, we see that for the dispersion to grow twice, we need 10 to 70 cycles. What do you mean by squeeze states here? Because we need semi-classical states. That means that relative uncertainty in both phi phi and v have to be small. If we take squeeze states, we violate these bounds. I mean, we violate the definition of semi-classicality here. The ones which have large, for example, very small relative uncertainty in V and very large relative uncertainty in omega. I mean, this bound holds. So the only possibility to have large growth of dispersion is to have this quantity large. I mean, yes.
What kind of space did you use? Did you use
the Gaussian? Yeah, Gaussian. But then, I mean, with various values of relative uncertainty, so that they were not balanced by any requirement.
So you simulate that?
Excuse me?
Real values. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So this was negative cosmological constant. For positive, we have a little bit more complicated situation. Classically, we have two distinct classes of solutions. I'm sorry, how much time I have?
8 minutes.
Ah. So we have ever expanding or ever contracting phase. What's important that volume classically reaches infinity for finite value of scalar field. So that's a little bit of complication. But because if we look at the trajectories parameterized by proper time, the evolution ends in this point. Proper time reaches infinity. So, however, if we introduce, we compactify V, introduce some transformation which transforms V into some compact set, and this transformation will be analytic, we can show that classical equations of motion, the Friedmann equation, can be analytically extended. And each solution, therefore, can be extended. The extended equations remain also analytic and well-defined, satisfying Clipschitz rule, and so on. So each solution can be uniquely extended through these points. Furthermore, if we look at the trajectories of energy density versus scalar field, they are also analytic, also can be extended, and we can show that the analytic extension simply joins together these two trajectories. So we have a point, or we have a kind of reflection from infinity through analytic extensions. On the quantum level, the cosmological constant term corresponds to negative V-square potential. Therefore, our Hamiltonian will be unbounded from below. And such systems are usually not essentially self-adjoint. Okay, about unboundedness of theta operator from below, I should make a comment. That here, because left-hand side is negatively definite, here we should take minus absolute value of theta. So the fact that theta itself is not bounded from below, it's not an obstacle. Okay, so regarding the lack of self-adjointness, let's try to analyze whether our operator is essentially self-adjoint or whether it has at all self-adjoint extensions. So this is done usually by analysis of deficiency subspaces. It was shown in this case that there are one-dimensional deficiency subspaces for this system. I won't be explaining the details, but one can show that there is one parameter family of self-adjoint extensions, which is labeled by phase alpha. And for each extension, the evolution operator has discrete spectrum. Therefore, you can use directly the construction from negative cosmological constant case to construct physical states, observables, and analyze the dynamics. There is one exception. We cannot use volume, because as we have seen, volume reaches infinity at finite time. So our operator, once we attempt to construct it, will not preserve Hilbert space. So that's the wave function, again, Gaussian wave function, corresponding to positive cosmological constant. We see these points which correspond to the V reaching infinity. Okay, we don't have V, but we still have energy density at given phi. And again, starting from contracting, from expanding part, we see that as we evolve backward, again, we enter the Planckian energy density regime. We have bounds at, again, when total energy density reaches critical one. Then we enter contracting branch. Here, volume reaches infinity. This is here the total energy density is plotted together with energy density corresponding to the cosmological constant. Energy density of the scalar field reaches zero here. So this is the infinite point classically. Then we have this reflection from infinity, and again expanding phase, bounce, contracting phase. So evolution is again cyclic. States remain sharply peaked throughout the evolution. For all extensions, the bounce happens when total energy density reaches critical one. Okay. I should have made comment that I have chosen just one super selection sector corresponding to sets invariant with respect to action of theta and parity operator, but of course it can be repeated for different sectors, and just for generic sectors we have a little bit more complicated four-dimensional family of extensions. So what is the role of different extensions here? First of all, each choice of the extension corresponds to selecting particular reflective conditions at V equal to infinity. And action of them corresponds to reflecting the wave packet with different phase rotation. However, because of the existence of unique analytic extension of classical trajectory, we expect that semi-classical states will be picked at this extended trajectory, independently on the extension. And this is confirmed numerically. At the level of both trajectories, expectation values, and dispersion, we see no difference between various self-adjoint extensions. Another result here is quantum bound on cosmological constant. Namely, physical Hilbert space degenerates, like contains either no elements at all or at least one or few in certain cases, when cosmological constant exceeds this value, 8 pi g times rho critical. We can heuristically understand it remembering that bounce happens when total energy density reaches rho critical. And for this lambda, energy density, residual energy density corresponding to it already exceeds this bound. And again, dispersion growth is the very same as in case of negative cosmological constant, because for each extension we again have the same bound on separation between following eigenvalues. So again, we have the similar estimate of on number of cycles needed to for the dispersions to double. So I would just like to make one small comment about some alternative picture of the case lambda greater than zero, because in approaches presented so far, we simply used scalar fields as an emergent time, casted the Hamiltonian constraint as kind of Klein-Gordon equation, and evolution operator has many self-adjoint extensions. But if we look just at the Hamiltonian constraint by itself, it is essentially self-adjoint. And then we can find single physical Hilbert space applying, for example, group averaging. So how it is related to these many extensions we have found? So if we the detailed analysis done by Wojciech Kamiński, Jerzy Lewandowski, and me have shown that, in fact, the resulting physical Hilbert space is a kind of integrate over the Hilbert space given by the over Hilbert spaces given by self-adjoint extensions found by previous method. Also, group averaging here can be used to define physical observables, and in principle to fully repeat the analysis of the dynamics, although this was not done yet. So here I would like to stop. Thank you. Yeah.
So I have two conclusions. The first one is that systemically, classically, this corresponds to infinite proper time.
This point. No, this point. This is energy density, not the volume.
Yes, and therefore, classically, this is going to expand forever. This is about this nature of the bound system.
Okay, that depends on parametrization. If you parameterize by proper time, here proper time reaches infinity. So if you parameterize trajectory by proper time, you cover just part of it. Although if you parameterize it by scalar field, you can extend it. This one?
Yes.
No, this is purely classical effect. It happens in classical theory, where we can extend classical trajectories. It happens also in Wheeler-DeWitt quantum theory, where there is no quantum geometric defects.
Sorry,
Yeah, but it would end here. Yeah, yeah. No, no. Even in classical theory, it can be extended.
So, the word classical theory is used consensus. You use space-time restriction versus space-space configuration space. So, the configuration space description essentially is that there is, if I just look at density versus scalar field, for example, then it's true that the finite value of the scalar field, the density becomes zero.
This is total energy density.
Can I already take this or?